This is Who's Talking on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaber.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Lemaire Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank, Hobbo to my far right, and we have a packed studio. Hobbo, do the honors.
Standing room only. We have Chris Sill is in the house for once.
Finally, hey, Chris.
And Vern Inge, our resident legal person on all things NCAA violations and otherwise.
Otherwise known as an attorney, Jim.
Well, that's why he's a legal guy.
You know? Okay.
Brad Barnes, former Wahoo footballer. And Darren in the back here, you know, also we have a strong LeClaire Ryan representation here this evening. Good. Saturday was what I call a good game with a bad outcome.
Yes, agreed.
59 minutes and 30 seconds were really pretty good.
We were spectacular. if we could have just had one safety cheating over the top, we'd have had the biggest upset of the season, and that would have been saying something based upon the way the NCAA season's gone so far.
Well, we're about to go to Brad Barnes and get it really broken down for us. But, I was encouraged. You were disappointed but yet encouraged.
Well, what's not to like? You're leading the number 9 team in the country 14-12 at halftime. Who'd have thunk? Who'd have believed? Who would have taken that bet?
Okay. Well, beyond that, the thing that really impressed me is, you know, having had that lead and kind of a disappointing first drive of the second half because they got all the way down deep in Notre Dame territory, had a tough holding call that put them in a third and long, and then Ian Fry unusually missed a field goal from 42, 43 yards. So we got no points out of that drive, which was kind of a bad way to start the second half. And then, of course, Notre Dame takes the lead 26-14, but the Hoos showed a lot of character and guts to fight back and score with a minute 54 to go, and the place was hopping and excited, and unfortunately we're just not able to finish.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think anybody in their right mind thought Virginia this year was going to beat Notre Dame, and based upon the type of team Notre Dame was bringing to Scott Stadium, and we're glad they were there. I wish some of their fans in the end zone would shave and dress properly, but, so much for the fighting Irish. But I was very proud of the Wahoos. They showed a lot of guts. That drive by Johns, that completion he made to Ryan Santoro, number 88, in tight coverage, and then really just a remarkable run to get the ball in the end zone. We're going to talk about that later by Albert Reed.
And particularly after the Mizell almost catch.
Oh, my goodness.
So to come back on a big third down play and able to convert that. Let's bring Mr. Barnes in here and get his viewpoint on some of this.
No doubt. Let's give him a proper introduction. First off, Brad played at UVA from 1996 to 2000. What's most remarkable is he overcame a back injury. We're going to have a little conversation with Dr. Vince Dalton later in the show, our Ortho Virginia specialist, and we're going to blend this in because somehow Brad overcame that back injury and really had two remarkable seasons in his last 2 years at Virginia, and blocked for Antoine Womack, who was a pretty solid running back, and maybe Brad blocked really well because he was afraid Womack was going to run right up his back probably, but I remember Brad very well, number 71, and Brad, just give us your assessment of the game overall and what it was like to be back in Scott Stadium. And apparently you were sitting with another Wahoo during the game.
That's right, I was. First of all, Jim, Frank, thank you for having me on the show, and all you Wahoo fans out there, thanks for listening tonight. So, yeah, Frank, I had a chance to go back to the game, and it's a real neat experience. It's always fun to be at Scott Stadium for the home opener. And I had a chance to be down on the field before the game, so there's a lot of energy coming off the players. I had a lot of flashbacks and a lot of goosebumps. But the players seemed jazzed. They looked fantastic, so I'm sure they had a great camp, and they looked strong, and they looked like they were ready to play. So I think that all that energy and all the support by the 58,000 fans there, I think that's why we had such a great home opener, at least up until the last 12 seconds of the game. But yeah, I think that overall, I was really impressed. Obviously, I love to sit in the end zone. I wasn't one of those unshaved fans, but I love to sit in the end zone because you can really see the offensive line play. And I think one of the good news and one of the bright spots that we're going to have this year is all day long, John's had a lot of protection. And you could see that from when he was taking his time before he scrambled. You can also see that when he took his time to pick his receiver, and obviously Servin had a fantastic week, named ACC Wide Receiver of the Week. But he was open, and I think a lot of that was because of the protection.
Let's touch on Kinane Severin real quick. You brought it up. Kinane was one of two football players down at ACC Operation Kickoff down in Pinehurst. Had a good chance to talk to him. And, you know, what a bright young man. And he's really come on since about the middle of last season. Kinane has been getting better and better and better, but he outdid himself. Who in your wildest dreams? 11 receptions for 153 yards against the Fighting Irish, and that is a mean defense.
They're a great defense. I mean, they have a lot of athletes on defense, which I was a little surprised about, the protection that we did get, because their front four is solid. Their linebackers are just incredible athletes. And so I think one of the great things is that there were some open spots out there, because I think they were bringing a lot of guys and trying to put pressure on Johns, but the offensive line held up, and there were some open spots out there, and he had a fantastic week with 153 yards.
You know, while you say that, Johns had a career game from the standpoint of completions. I believe he had 26 completions on 38 attempts, maybe.
I think that is correct.
That feels right. He made a gutsy run down at the end zone where he rolled out, and the linebacker tried to cut him off, and he ducked underneath of him. And that happened right in front of where I was sitting. I was in the third row in the corner, and he came right at us, and like three guys hit him. But Johns hopped up and ran through the back of the end zone. And I'm telling you, I think now Matt Johns is feeling it. He knows he's the quarterback. He's the man. He was connecting with Severin and some other players. He's got smoke coming out of the backfield, getting open. Albert Reed is contributing. That screen pass almost went. Do you remember that little screen on the right side? Right in front of the Virginia bench. What happened there, and why didn't it go farther?
You know, I think one of the toughest things, especially from an offensive line perspective, is getting downfield and throwing on guys. Those guys are quick little athletes, and you're about two times their size. And so I think what happens is that you get out there and you try to throw, but they dodge a little bit, and one little trip of the shoestring, and then they get you, and then the back goes down. The screen play doesn't work out. So screen play is a tough play to execute, especially with everybody involved in a lot of the movement, especially coming over there to the sideline.
Brad, how good do you think Notre Dame is, having watched them?
You know what, Notre Dame is a fantastic football team, and I know, Frank, you and I were having a conversation earlier in the week and after the game, and I think one of the things I think is that's probably one of the most athletic teams that we're going to face all year, and especially after coming off UCLA and now Notre Dame. I think what I'm really encouraged by is we were able to get out there and compete with some really, really good athletes. I think if you look at the guys over the next 2 years that are going to go pro off the Notre Dame team, I think for us to get out there and compete and play well, and even after we got down, to still come back and still put some drives together, I think that's what I'm really encouraged.
You know, the other thing, and it encouraged me a little bit, it seemed like the play calling was a little more creative.
Oh, yeah.
They tried to get people out on the wings and, you know, did some reverses and other things rather than just straight up the middle all the time.
I agree with you, and I think that's one of the things I'm also proud of. And I think Coach London is probably – I think he probably gets a lot of flack for some of his play calling, so I was glad to see him open up a little bit and get some of those great play calls in there, because when a team like Notre Dame comes in this home opener and they're ranked in the top, you've got to play that game like you've got nothing to lose. And so I think to open up a little bit, and Frank, you know, you mentioned Matt Johns earlier, but the one thing I love about that kid is he's a gamer. Yeah. So he brings it every day. And so when he does that and you let him open up and he's got that confidence of the starting nod, then I think he goes out there and makes some great plays, and I think that's what we saw.
Got to keep him healthy. You know, some of these quarterbacks early in the season, obviously Virginia Tech and the kid from Notre Dame got hurt the other day, so not to downplay the backups at Virginia, but I think Matt Johns is the guy, and clearly we want him in the game.
Sure. Well,
keep him healthy and protect him.
No doubt the coaches have told him to go through all his progressions.
That's
AKA
right.
Throw the football or throw it away or get down. You know, he only had one moment during the game where he got a little flustered, and I saw him bending his knees and sort of shrinking in the pocket. But the rest of the game, he stood tall, and, you know, when he had that blitz coming at him down near the goal line and lobbed the ball into the end zone to smoke, to me, that showed incredible awareness. He knew, he remembered in his head, where is smoke? He's my release valve. he just overthrew it a little bit. It was almost a career catch, and you know, I was bummed. I was thinking, gosh, I hope that isn't the end of the rally. And
well, that was impressive. And the other thing, on the one time Matt Johns did get hit where he fumbled, obviously our tackle got beat on the blind side. What happened on that play that you saw?
So I saw a couple things. I watched that. It looked like it was some slant coverage there. So I think it looked like the tackle maybe got beat, but it looks like that weak side linebacker came on a little bit of a delayed blitz and came in there and popped him in the back on the blind side there. But the thing I thought about that is, even though he did fumble and he got hit hard, he was the first guy up trying to recover that fumble. So I think he took that lick, and he took that big lick when he scored the touchdown. It was neat to see how quickly he got up and recovered. So he's a pretty tough kid.
Well, you know, he played basketball up there in Pennsylvania.
Well, there
he's
you
in
are.
High school.
Well, enough said. What more do you need to say?
How about I'm just trying to make you feel good. All right, so let's move on a little bit. We did recognize Kinane Severn. He was an ACC Receiver of the Week. Florida State had about four players named Players of the Week. I don't know if they were playing the Little Sisters of the Poor. Pittsburgh had a player, Clemson had a player, UNC had a player, linebacker had a good game, Shaquille Rashad. Let's see who else. Syracuse had a guy, and then the quarterback for Syracuse, who's the number two QB, he had a good week. But how could they overlook Matt Johns? I just don't know. To me, Matt Johns should have been on this list. All right, looking ahead very quickly for just a moment or two. The Wahoos have Weidman Mary this coming Saturday at Scott Stadium, 3:30 game. The Hoos are 0-2, unfortunately, despite playing so much better. Important game. They've got to get well here. They've got to play well. Brad, what do the Hoos have to do this week to shake off what happened?
I think it's always tough, especially when you have an in-state rival coming in, especially an in-state rival in Weidman Mary who's beat you in recent years. But it's tough when you have one of these teams who's not in the same conference of you and you sort of think that you might be a little bit more confident than you are and get a little arrogant and overlook them. But I think the good news is, with two losses coming to this game, these guys need a win. I think you saw Burbank and some of his comments in the press conference. He really doesn't like these moral victories. And so I think they're going to get up. They're going to get after it. I've got some contacts that are still on the coaching staff, and one of the things that they talk about is how this team really has a lot of great leadership on it, and how they really prepare very, very well, and they train hard and they practice hard. So I'm pretty confident that they're not going to overlook Weidman Mary. They're going to watch a lot of film on them, and they're going to make sure they do everything they can to come out with a W.
Well, you could make a case that we've played the two best teams on the schedule already.
Yeah.
Not that there aren't good teams ahead, but, you know, and the fact that they've competed very effectively, you know, because even the UCLA game, what it was 17-9 at the half, I think, you know, so they were clearly in the game, and in the first half of that game, they just struggled getting the ball in the end zone and had to settle for field goals, so that game at halftime could have been a different situation and clearly played well against Notre Dame, so I would think they got to be as confident as you can be at 0-2, I would think.
I think so. And to be 0-2 and still be pretty confident, I think you're right. And I think if you look ahead at the schedule, you're right. I think probably the toughest one is probably Georgia Tech, just because of that offense is tough to prepare for. But you're right. It's probably the two toughest teams that we've had a chance to play this year, and they're probably the two toughest teams we face all year.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, speaking of Georgia Tech and the Rambling Wreck, they're going to be traveling to South Bend to play Notre Dame at 3:30 on Saturday. And we'll see how Notre Dame's backup quarterback, Kinzer, plays with the whole week of knowing he's now the starter. And at the same token, if you've been watching Georgia Tech over the last couple of years, it's hard for teams to get ready for that crazy option they run. So this is a big game for the ACC. All right, we've got about a minute and a half or so before we go to our first break.
You know, the one thing I noticed about Notre Dame, they really do paint those helmets. Did you notice how shiny those things were? I mean, they must really put the high-gloss paint on those things before they come out of the runway. Because big guys like you, you used to like have that helmet scuffed up like you were really out there in the war. You didn't want to have that perfect helmet.
Well, I think that might have been some of the mentality, but I was one of the guys that liked to have a nice shiny uniform every time. Get those fresh helmets out there. I like to look good out there on Saturday, Jim.
All right, I think what we're going to do now is let's take a quick break here. We've been enjoying a good conversation with Brad Barnes here in the studio. We'll be back in just a few moments to continue with Brad and then also bring on Dr. Vince Dalton to do the injury report. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.